joining us. We are really delighted to be here. I'm Catherine, and Carol is
here. Great to be here. You know, let's take a look at this, because I got to tell you, I live in Washington State now, but I grew up in New York and New Jersey. And I have been all over our senior centers here, which pretty much house some of these games that we're talking about today. Why they don't do more advertising or PR around who they are and what they're doing. Now, can you all answer to me how important it is for us seniors to be involved in something like the annual National Senior Games?
Well, I'll begin. This is Catherine, and I'm just going to say that for me, you know, as a runner all my life for 60 years, I've really realized as I have aged that running is the thing that has given me my strength, my sense of self, my empowerment, and really my physical, emotional, and social health. And I'm really excited and proud to be partnering with Humana, who are the presenting sponsors of the National Senior Games, because they are giving all of these seniors and me the opportunity to continue to compete. And Carol is coming into this as a beginner, really, because she took up her table tennis late.
Yeah, I just picked it up about 4 or 5 years ago. I was at a crossroads in my life. My husband had passed away. I lost my full-time job, and I had to re-examine and figure out who is it that I am and what do I want to do with my life. I started playing a little bit of ping pong. I fell in love with the sport, and then I got tired of losing. So I got serious and got some coaching.
Amen, sister. Amen to that.
Yeah. And that led me to the National Senior Games, and this will be my second games, and I'm really looking forward to competing with 13,000 other grateful athletes there in Albuquerque.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, 13,000 athletes, and they're all over age 50. They're competing in 20 different sports. It's the world's largest multi-sport event for seniors. We're really excited and privileged to be there, and we really would love you to watch your calendar so you can qualify and come next time.
Well, I am. I mean, I don't know. I'm the Washington State champ in my age category, and also mixed doubles and doubles in the age 52 category. So I was ready to go, and my partners couldn't make it. And I just thought, okay, I'll get it next time. But I want to talk about what you guys are talking about, because here's what I don't want people listening to this to miss. Getting involved in something that builds levels of empowerment, that builds level of confidence, that gets you in a place where you feel great, that challenges you. I think we don't talk enough about this as seniors. Do you understand what I'm trying to say here with each of you? I want to talk with you, Karen, and then you, Carol. How have you felt now more empowered? And look at you doing a PR circuit on this. Thank you. Thank you for doing that.
You're so welcome. But here's the point is, you know, people talk about seniors the way they talked about us women 50 years ago. You know, I have helped champion the cause of women in sports all my life, and suddenly now I'm 72. And I'm looking around, and people now are saying, you should slow down, you should take it easy, you're weak and fragile, you might fall down and hurt yourself. Well, that's what they told women 50 years ago, and we completely disproved that. This is the next great revolution, is the aging actively revolution of people needing to not sit on the sofa and worry about falling down. Get off the sofa and get moving. The more you do, the more you can do. It's really, really important. We have the stats now that show that if you stay active, you not only live longer, you live better and more optimistically. And with something like the Senior Games, we're showing that the socialization part is very important in whole person health.
Yeah. And I want to get back to something, too. What you've said is so important and critical, and I know you're doing a bunch of this, and I know our time is limited, but I hope you both will come back outside of this special arrangement and talk about the experience on my regular full-hour show. I hope you will come back and do that. And the reason I say that is it's not just talking about that. Thank you, Humana, for doing this, by the way. But it's not just talking about this. It's talking in a way that says you too can participate. It doesn't have to be table tennis or it doesn't have to be marathon. How about all the other amazing sports you both are going to see there?
It's such a wide range of sports. It's everything from shuffleboard and horseshoes to pickleball and basketball and all kinds of track and field. And walking, you know, race walking, which is a great entry level for someone who has not been an athlete all their lives.
But also, people have got to realize that those, maybe they're intimidated about like entering a competition. Well,
yes.
Listen, it's really not about that. It basically, what you need to do is say, hey, listen, you know, it's not about being a marathon runner or a really good ping pong player. It's about just taking that first step. So get off the sofa and get out the door. Just embrace movement and say hi to your neighbors and engage in the community. That is critically important.
And I just want to state again, Carol, for those of you that hear me talk about ping pong, table tennis, and saw all the pictures, here you go. Carol, 3 gold medals from the Empire State Senior Games, women's singles, women's doubles, mixed doubles, right? Catherine, we're talking about, running, still running. Nobody's going to slow these two ladies down. I want to ask each of you this question about your related activities in this. What is it that gets you most fired up when each of you see yourself in your particular sport of choice? Catherine, you want to start, and then we'll go to Carol.
Sure. There are two things. The most important thing for me that really fires me up is passing on what I know and inspiring somebody else. And whether it's women or whether it's older people, you know, if I can get them to move and believe in themselves, once they take the first step, they get it. They get that sense of empowerment. So that's what really motivates me. But personally, it's the moment I get out there alone with nature and run or walk and just get my head clear, get a focus, and get a vision and a creative idea for the future. And it gives me my sense of optimism.
And for me, it's playing the sport itself, learning to watch the ball in a whole different way, and the focus, the mental acuity, as well as the physical challenge of it, has been so much fun. And also, I get so much feedback about what an inspiration I am, which I, you know, what came honestly is a surprise to me. But to take up a sport at a late age and then become pretty good at it, you know, and also to, you know, go on after a very challenging period in my life and find something that's so rewarding and gratifying and then be able to compete at the National Senior Games. I mean, how cool is that?
Oh, it doesn't get any cooler than that. I'm having table tennis envy right now. But, you know, part of this is really getting the word out like you're doing, you're both doing. And let's just take a moment. Everybody out there, please go look at these games. What's the website for folks to go to get plugged in? And I want to say this for those of you that are saying, I'm not a senior. Listen to me. You have parents. You have grandparents. They probably don't know that there is a way for them to get involved in something like this and feel great. So just because you're saying, I'm not a senior, please pass this website on. Go ahead, please.
So National Senior Games, and the website is nsga.com. And if you forget that, just Google National Senior Games.
And seniors start at the age of 50. That's when you qualify. So it's open to a wide range.
A pop.
And I agree with you, Carol. I mean, I got back to the sport. I played in my 20s when I was in New Jersey, and did quite well, you know, back in 72, 73, 74. I actually, my picture is in the history of table tennis. It makes me feel a little bit old when I hear people say that.
Wow.
But I went back after a very traumatic personal, like you, experience. And I wasn't sure that after a chronic illness, I was going to be able to play again. And what I find is, and I think this is the message from both of you, I looked beyond that illness and got stronger and stronger every day. And I found I'm playing better now than I've ever played. And I got to tell you, people think women don't like to compete in sports. I got a coach. Because I do not like to lose either. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
One last question. I know you got to run. I just want to know what your personal message is from each of you. What do you want to leave us with? And by the way, Carol, thank you for being part of the American Youth Table Tennis Organization. I should mention that. Personal message, please.
Just take the first step, and it will give you such a sense of empowerment that you will continue.
And for me, never too late to learn something new. Never too late.
I kind of fit. I got one last question. What, Carol, what's your favorite stroke? What's your favorite shot? Loop, backhand,
forehand,
what's your favorite?
Loop.
Forehand loop?
Forehand loop.
Yay, sister! We're twins. Mine too. For women to even say our favorite stroke in table tennis is forehand loop, oh, my God, at least that is unheard of, right? Thank you both. And for those
Thank
of you,
you
thinking, what are these two talking about? Google it. Google forehand loop table tennis. Thank you both. Have a great day. Thank you for getting the word out.
Thank you so much.
All right. NSGA.com, everybody. We'll take a short break.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world one listener at a time.
Everybody, welcome. Welcome to our good news segment. Look, for 15 years, since the day I dialed the wrong phone number, you have heard me talk about what we need to do to create a better world. One of the things that you've also heard me talk about that I'm passionate about is what we do to our animal friends. And here's what I want to say about that. You've heard me talk about this from a spiritual perspective, from a humanitarian perspective. You've heard me talk about it from a karmic perspective. Today, it is about a practical perspective. Joining me today, John DeLeonardo, Manage for People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Thank you, John, for joining us here today. Thank you, and thanks, PETA, for what they do. But let's get down to the reality of this. Every year, our animal friends, more and more stories about horrific events. And I got to tell you, I thought at my very young age, just joking right there, that we would get much better at this. Give us the state of affairs here, and thank you for joining me here today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on. I mean, we're getting into the summer season, and while well-meaning tourists don't always do right by animals when planning their vacations, people ride elephants who are beaten into submission. They stare at bears who are languishing in roadside zoos, or they swim with dolphins. And I mean, we know that travelers love animals, and who hasn't at one time or another wanted to get close up to a tiger, an elephant, or go swimming with the dolphins? But getting close up to these animals, these wild animals in rides and photo shoots and other encounters, it's highly stressful for any wild animal. So today I want to talk a little bit about the abuse that's often hidden from tourists and about the ways we can instead enjoy seeing wild animals without harming them.
And I love that you actually came right out with the word abuse, because we don't say this enough. You know, we think that this is a good time for us, that everybody is happy. The other thing that we're not talking about is, and I don't know if you do talk about this, I'm not saying everybody does this, John, but, you know, there are stories, especially stories of animals in zoos around the world that are drugged. So, you know, I don't even know where to begin with this. Tell us about what the state of affairs is with PETA, and what, where are you? Are you seeing that your work effort is really getting larger and larger every year in terms of rescue?
Well, we have a lot more work to be done, but we've also saved a great amount of animals. I think that people are, you know, it's the 21st century and people love animals. And if we can get the word out about how people can help them, they're usually pretty apt to act. So just in the last 6 years, PETA has rescued 72 bears, 39 tigers, 11 chimpanzees, and 2 baboons from lives of deprivation in roadside zoos. All of these animals now live in reputable animal sanctuaries where they have space to roam and climb and are finally able to exhibit many of the natural behaviors their relatives in the wild do. So we're urging people that if they see a roadside zoo or another tourist trap, such as like a swim with dolphin encounter, to complain to management and, you know, and don't lend your dollars to these cruel businesses.
Okay, I got to talk about something that was a thing, John, a number of decades ago. And I was shocked as I went to your website. Let me make sure everybody knows. If you haven't been to PETA's website, just everybody go to PETA, PETA.org. I was shocked when I got there again to discover what we are doing to animals these days that I thought we stopped. Skinning animals is just, it's such absurdly horrible. I don't really understand why in humanity we are still doing things like that.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, we've made a lot of progress. And I mean, as far as the clothing trade, you know, there are cities now in California that have banned the use of fur. And New York City right now is looking at doing the same. So we're making progress, but it's because people are speaking up.
Yeah.
I think that in the past, you know, without social media, without, you know, televisions, people didn't, you know, if these types of issues weren't so accessible. But now we're able to pull back the curtain and show people that whether it's the clothing industry or it's the entertainment industry, animals are being used and abused for profit. But if we speak up, we can truly make a difference. I mean, we can just look at the circus industry. Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus, they closed just a couple years ago after 146 years of use and abuse. I mean, Cole Brothers Circus is no longer touring. Kelly Miller Circus is now gone animal free. So animal free attractions are the way of the future. And, you know, animal free fibers are too.
And let's just talk about this. I know that in Asia, and I don't know the specific countries for sure, but I know in Asia that heavily sedating or chaining animals, especially tigers, is pretty much commonplace. And I would think in this day and age where there are so few tigers really left that somebody would put the brakes on, but I don't think that we've been effective in that area.
Yeah, I mean, we do have a lot more work to do. I mean, like elephants used for rides, big cats, monkeys, and other animals used for photo ops or other direct contact activities are also torn from their mothers, often within hours of birth. And at facilities in Thailand, adult tigers may be heavily sedated or chained down. For example, in a tiger kingdom in Phuket, tigers are reportedly caged at all times when not being used to take photos with tourists, and they're hit if they misbehave. So the best way to see these animals is by observing them from a distance in nature preserves or on safaris, and not going to roadside attractions. I mean, we could talk about facilities in Asia all day long,
yeah.
But just in Texas,
yeah,
we have
United States.
more Yeah. In the United States, but in Texas alone, we have more tigers in captivity than we have in all of the wild. I mean, that's a tremendous statistic, and we need to do a better job protecting animals who are suffering in roadside zoos and private ownership here in the United States, and also conserving their wild habitats, you know, in the wild.
Let's just get to some of this that really talks about the United States, because this is where people that are listening can get involved. Number one, I want to talk about what other kinds of conditions we're referencing, but how can people get involved? Because I think you and I talking about it is a great way to get information out there, and certainly go to PETA.org, the website. But there are other ways people can get involved. What are you finding that people are doing to really take time out of their day to say, I got to stop this?
Yeah, you can go to PETA.org and you can sign our action alerts against urging SeaWorld to stop stepping on the faces of dolphins, to stop breeding animals into confinement. You can contact our action team at actionteam@PETA.org to get leaflets and to get posters to speak out about animal abuse in your own communities. We give free veggie starter kits so that people can speak to people wherever they are, whether it's their neighbors, whether it's just standing on a corner outside a restaurant, urging people to live a little kinder and think about the animals that may be languishing in cages at a roadside zoo or languishing in cages at a factory farm.
I know we have a few minutes left, but I do have to talk about what we are doing to animals in terms of how we're treating them for our food supply. I mean, years and years and years ago, we saw what was happening as young animals were slaughtered in the name of veal parmesan. And, you know, we really put the brakes on that. I mean, I don't know if I would have ever seen in my lifetime such a diminishing of something that was so popular, literally taken out of the food chain. I think we're looking at horrific acts when it comes to lamb and when it comes to chickens and eggs. I think they're horrific, and I think we don't know it, and I think we're being misled. What is the truth about this?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think a lot of people now realize that, you know, they make the connection that veal are just their baby. It's a baby calf.
Yeah.
It's just a baby cow. And it's wrong to be eating these baby animals. But what a lot of people don't realize is all the animals that we eat are babies. I mean, we kill chickens when they're only a few months old. In the egg industry, we kill males at just a day old because they can't lay eggs, so they're not profitable to the industry. I mean, even if you don't eat veal, if you consume dairy, you're still paying money to this very same industry that is tearing these young babies away from their mothers so that we can consume their milk instead.
And I want to say this, that this is not true in all countries. So, you know, I have a friend born in India, and their representation of the cow is so sacred, and the treatment of the cow, as well as the products that come from the cow. It's a whole different perspective. I want to ask you this last question. What's the call to action here? You know, John, what do we want people to do?
Yeah, I would like people to help animals in the tourism industry by steering clear of roadside zoos and swim with dolphin attractions, visiting PETA.org to find out how you can help these animals, and consider going vegan, and which saves 200 animals from a lifetime of suffering and slaughter just for a taste.
Yeah, I mean, there are certainly things that we can do, not to mention we're learning about the health risks from putting certain products in our system, meat and dairy. Thank you so much, John, for today. Thank you. Give out that website.
Thank you so much. Yeah, PETA.org. Please go to PETA.org and get a vegan starter kit today.
All right, everybody, let's take a short break. We'll be right back. Everybody, welcome. Welcome to our good news segment. You know, we got a great, great bit of information for you today. Lee Abamonte is joining us here today, as well as John Sellers. Lee is a travel expert, youngest American to visit every country. That's exciting. We're great to have him back. And then John Sellers is from Bank of America, Preferred Rewards Executive. And so what happens when these two team up? Here's what happens. What we do is we get some absolutely phenomenal information as to where to go, how to get there, and what is the best way to kick it in gear and not worry about the cha-ching, better known as the bling, other words, the money. And so thank you both for joining us here today. This is about having big, big fun and getting some financial reward for it, right? So welcome. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Glad to be here.
Look, how many people out there want to get on the horse and get out there and travel, and yet the number one thing they think about is money? Now, what I mean by that is not about necessarily paying for it, but how to optimize their investment in what they do. Let's start first by talking with you, Lee, and then John will pop over to you. Summer travel season, I don't know if it's just me, but I know my friends have already jam-packed what they are going to do this summer. And I got to tell you, that's a little bit different than I've seen in previous years. What is your take on people and what they're gearing up to do?
Well, I think that everybody likes to take summer vacation. I mean, it's warm out. People want to go to the beach or take a road trip or even fly somewhere, maybe go to Europe, whatever it might be. So, you know, different strokes for different folks. But I think the common theme there is everybody's going to do something. Everybody's been saving up their time and their money all year, and they're going to be traveling. And I guess as someone who travels as much as I do, my biggest piece of advice for them is to get rewarded for the travel that they're going to be doing. To, for instance, I use the Bank of America Premium Rewards card, and I combine that with being a Preferred Rewards member because I earn up to 3.5 points per dollar spent on travel and dining. And we all know that if you're traveling, you're also going to be eating. And so these are two expenses that you're going to be paying for regardless. So you might as well be rewarded to maximize future earnings for free trips in the future.
You know, I was blown away by the amount of money that you can accumulate in rewards. And, you know, I got to tell you, up until about a couple of years ago, I wasn't a big fan of this. But, you know, I've seen, you know, myself having my own Bank of America card, I've seen these rewards. And before you know it, holy cow, you have accumulated hundreds of dollars. And I just thought, whoa, so much so that I wasn't even paying attention to it. John, what do you think about that? I don't think I'm kind of unusual in that way.
No, I mean, you know, yeah, absolutely. And our clients really, obviously, they love the rewards. And now that we have a not just a credit card rewards program, but also a banking loyalty program,
yeah,
which is called Preferred Rewards.
Yeah.
Right. That offers a suite of benefits that are super helpful for travel. So it has these big kickers on top of your card, which gives you extra earning power. It also gives you discounts on foreign currency exchange rate, free ATM transactions, just to name a few. And then just outside of Bank of America, it's really important that all the listeners out there make sure that they're layering their airline, hotel, dining, credit card, banking rewards programs. This will allow them to maximize their earning potential. So, like, for example, when I'm making a hotel transaction, I'm earning rewards at least three different ways, right? Through my rewards credit card, through my banking loyalty program like Preferred Rewards, and lastly, I'm signing up for the hotel loyalty program, and I can use those rewards towards future stays.
Yeah, and this really points to a question for you, Lee, and that is, I was really blown away by how creative people are getting with where they want to go. Are you seeing a trend this year that is different than other years? I mean, I have some folks that are like, wow, I'm going to China, I'm going to Thailand, you know, and just incredible different venues for people. Are we getting more adventurous here?
Well, I like to hope so, and I like to hope that I'm contributing to that by putting out information, and people are starting to follow. I think that the world has become a much smaller place in recent years. I mean, there's so many flights out there. There's so many airlines. There's so many ways to get places. And the truth is, airline flights to faraway places are very affordable. Like you mentioned Thailand there.
Yeah.
Where I live in New York, you can fly to Thailand for like $500 or $600 round trip.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty much unheard of, you know, 15, 20 years ago. Because it's so far, you think it'd be more, but it's actually really competitive. So you can get great deals to fly places. And it's a hell of a lot cheaper to fly to Southeast Asia in the summer than it would be to fly to Europe, which is crazy. I mean, you could be paying $1,500, $2,000 a person just to go to Europe, and it's only a six-hour flight.
Yeah, the reason I brought up Thailand is we have a great relationship with the Minister of Agriculture there. We have been following Thailand and their efforts, starting about 6 years ago, to really promote organic farming. And so I'm really excited about that trip, really, to go over and see what they're doing. So, and that really brings me to just a kind of follow-up question. What is it that we're finding about these dream vacations, and this is both for both of you, starting out with Lee. You know, what are some of the tips that you've discovered along the way? And I think, Lee, for you, you've got a website, you've got a Facebook page, you've got a lot of places people to go. So let's make sure we're mentioning that too.
Yeah, my website's leahabamonte.com, and I'm at leahabamonte on all social media, and I post pictures and stories about my travels. And you know, there's so many places out there. People are getting their information from different places, and they're inspired to go all over the place. And I think social media has played a huge part in that. So I think that everyone's different. Everybody has different things in what they want to do. But I think there's no limit to how they can get it done.
Yeah, I was telling Linda, who scheduled this show, I said, you know, Linda, I want to be Lee when I grow up. I just want to have his job. I just want to be like, okay, I want to be Lee. But I got to tell you, I also want to be John, because I want to figure out how to have the money to do what Lee does. Right, John?
Yeah. You know, I would just add to Lee's answer there. I think, you know, plan ahead, right? Talk to your financial institution about all the programs and tools that they have available to make your trip more rewarding. We talked about using a credit card that maximizes your rewards, especially when you're dining and travel, like our premium rewards card. We talked about the bank loyalty program, which a lot of folks out there aren't taking advantage of, so they're leaving those rewards on the table. Make sure you're taking advantage of that. And then there's unexpected benefits that maybe your financial institution is offering. At Bank of America, we have a program called Museums on Us. And Museums on Us offers free admission the first full weekend of every month to more than 225 of the most popular cultural institutions in the United States.
Wow.
And these can add a fun and affordable activity to your travel. So along with Museums on Us, and then, of course, layering all those reward programs together, they can really add up and really give you savings.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so glad you mentioned that because, you know, I'm a New Yorker. I'm a native New Yorker. And I got to tell you, one of the things growing up in the city is just the awe and the mystery of some of the most incredible museums and just art studios. It's just quite nothing like it. I mean, the first time I went to both museums, you know, natural history and art, I was just blown away as a kid. And so I'm so glad you mentioned that, because that's a family event, isn't it? That's something like families can do and everybody in the family can have fun with.
Absolutely. And you know, in New York, go to the show up to the Intrepid Sea, Air and Space Museum. That's one of our partners there,
yeah.
Right? Just
yeah.
Bring your Bank of America card and your photo ID and you'll get in for free.
I love it. Lee, I want to ask you this question. Look, do you have any best or most rewarding trips? Do you have something where, Lee, you're thinking, this would be something I'd like to mention to folks today?
You know, when you've traveled as much as I have, it's really hard to pinpoint one thing. So I'll give you two examples that have been certainly most rewarding and definitely in in line for best. Going to Antarctica and actually reaching the South Pole, the geographic pole, at 9,300 feet, where so few humans have ever been, was an incredible experience for me. And talking about it now, I still don't really have the words, but it was incredibly rewarding and things that I'll remember my whole life. And then more recently and closer to home, I recently finished visiting every national park in America. And I always tell people that in addition to traveling abroad, of course, we should explore our own country because it's so big and vast and varied that there's so much to see and do. And going to see the national parks is interesting because it takes you to places you wouldn't normally go. It takes you to remote areas of like Alaska or Utah or California and, you know, places away from major cities. And it's really rewarding, and it really helps remind you how great a country that we have and how beautiful it is.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Alaska should be on everybody's bucket list. And, you know, I didn't think that till I moved to the West Coast here, but I agree with you. We have some of the most beautiful, you know, countryside landscape. I live in Washington State, and I'm always in awe when I wake up and take a look at Mount Rainier. I'm just always blown away.
And that view of Mount Rainier from Seattle is about as good a view as any city anywhere in the world.
Yeah, people don't believe it's for real. You know what I mean? You send them a picture, they're like, did you Photoshop that? No.
It does. It looks fake.
I know. But look, you know, what we're talking about today is having more, let's just say, more options than I think we've had before. Creating memories is significantly important. But I want to ask you both this last question. From your perspective, Lee, and John, from your perspective, what is your best tip for people to optimize their finances and still go on vacation? And the other thing is, I can't say enough about how important planning is. You know, a lot of people are probably like me, quadruple Sagittarius, where planning is literally not our friend. Like, we just want to get in the car. That's not a great way to save money. So let's start with you, Lee, and then John.
In terms of planning, this is kind of like one of my specialties. You know, you want to plan a little bit for your trips. Obviously, you got to get some airline flights, et cetera, and have a loose itinerary. So I say get your shell flights, basically, and then work everything else out. Because sometimes you get to a city or a place or whatever, and you don't like it as much as you wanted to, or you like it a lot more than you thought you would, or somebody tells you about something you didn't read about online. So you want to have the flexibility to be able to change your itinerary without getting whacked with cancellation fees or change fees from airlines, et cetera. So have some flexibility, do a little bit of planning, but know that you don't know everything. And once you get there on the ground, you want to be able to change things if you want.
Wow. Thank you. John, how about you? What's your tip? What do you want to leave us with here today?
Yeah, I think everybody knows about rewards credit cards, but I think what most people aren't taking advantage of are those banking loyalty programs like Preferred Rewards, because that really just kicks your earnings into another gear and really gives you a great way to save. And then always be sure to layer all those rewards programs so you can really maximize your total earning capability.
Yeah, I actually think, John, that there's a bit of confusion about the rewards program you just mentioned and, you know, what happens with the credit cards. I think that for a lot of people, they think they're one and the same. And this is a big, big educational moment here for this.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, these banking loyalty programs like Preferred Rewards, they go beyond credit card. They give you benefits on your full suite of banking and investment products here at Bank of America. And on the credit card, for instance, it gives you up to a 75% bonus on the already very competitive, earn that you get on the credit cards, whether it's cash, travel, or our premium rewards card.
Wow. What are the websites for each of you? John, how do people find out more about this?
Yeah, bankofamerica.com/preferred rewards. And they can go to bankofamerica.com, and at the search bar, they can look at museum, type in museums on us or our premium rewards card, and they'll get all the information they need.
And for more about my travels and places I've written about, check out leahbamonte.com.
Okay, Lee, I got to put you on the spot. One last question for you. What's the most exciting place you're planning to go within the next 12 months?
Well, I got a big trip coming up in the fall, actually. I'm going to be going to Asia. I'll be in Japan for the Rugby World Cup. I'm a big rugby fan, and I'll also be in China, going to Shanghai and a couple other cities that I can't really pronounce, but where they had the forest in Avatar. That's a real place, and I'm going to be going there.
Maybe we're going to bump into each other because I'm a big table tennis player. So
I would love to play you in ping pong sometime. That'd be a lot of fun.
Okay, it's a date. I'm going to set that up. All right. Thank you both for joining me here today, and let's rock on. Everybody, look, a lot of good information here, and this is something that you can literally plan for yourself, plan for your family. So let's just clear our minds of the old story that we can't do it, we can't afford it, we don't know how to begin, because both of these folks today have laid out a blueprint. Please take the initiative and do something fun for yourself. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good day to you. Benny Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for around the town. Well, folks, if you're in the south end around Tuckwell and Renton area, out of those S-curves, 405 northbound, it's heavy up through the Kennedale Hill. Bring your patience along with you. Good thing it'll break free at the top there just before the I-90. Over on I-5 northbound around Alboro Place on Michigan Street exit and the West Seattle Bridge, it's heavy running up into downtown Seattle. Good thing it'll break free after Northeast 45th Street and the University of Washington exit. So stay tuned for another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This time it's Animal Soul Wisdom with Darcy Pariso, along with her guest for today, A Healer's Journey with Lori Camus.
Foreign interference furor, deep fears of deep fakes. I'm Mike Moss. The top Republican in the House, Kevin McCarthy, is responding to the president's suggestion that he would take dirt on a political opponent from a foreign source.
Let me be very clear. I don't want to see any foreign government try to interfere in our elections. And we all should stand united to ensure integrity of our elections.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
What the president said last night shows clearly, once again, over and over again, that he does not know the difference between right and wrong. And that's probably the nicest thing I can say about him.
The chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, Adam Schiff, is calling on social media giants to block transmission of so-called deep fakes.
Advances in AI and machine learning have led to the emergence of advanced digitally doctored types of media, so-called deep fakes, that enable malicious actors to foment chaos, division, or crisis. And they have the capacity to disrupt entire campaigns, including that for the presidency.
Oil prices are surging today after two more tankers were attacked in the Gulf of Oman. Correspondent Barbara Starr is at the Pentagon.
These are waters that the U.S. Navy consistently operates in. Many of the allies operate in them. The fate of these commercial mariners is very serious, because these are people who have no means of defending themselves. They man these ships up and down these waters. They carry vital cargo, and they just have no means of defending themselves when they come under attack.
Six tankers have been attacked in the last month. X-Men director Brian Singer has agreed to settle a rape accusation against him and pay $150,000 to a man who says Singer sexually assaulted him when he was 17 years old. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 109 points, S&P up 12. I'm Mike Moss.
Heidi, did you hear about our new Bacon and Kegs Bash?
Bacon and Kegs?
June 21st through the 23rd at Quinault Beach Resort and Casino.
Okay, I'll bite.
It's live entertainment, food trucks, beer specials, and the best bacon dish.
Do I get a taste test? Because I like bacon.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Plus, $1 of every beer sold throughout the weekend benefits the Susan G. Komen Foundation, Oregon, and Southwestern Washington. Room packages are available online. Quinault Beach Resort and Casino. Bacon and Kegs happen here. And let's go ahead and take a look now to Alternative Talk weather outlook for Thursday. Well, we had a record-breaking day yesterday.
I thought temperatures were going to be in the high 80s. We actually reached 93 yesterday. And today, well, we'll still see a lot of sun, warm temperatures, no records will be broken today. We will see high 70s to low 80s, though, however. Tonight, increasing clouds, low temperatures dropping back down to about 56. For Friday, a little bit of morning drizzle, but it'll make way to mostly sunny skies by the afternoon. High temperatures in the mid-70s, probably topping out about 75. Friday night, partly cloudy skies, lows back down to about 56. For the weekend, more sunshine expected, and high temperatures hovering in the mid to upper 70s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This is Alternative Talk 1150.
You are listening to Animal Soul Wisdom Radio, tapping into wisdom of our animals, angels, and masters with Darcy Pariso. Tune in monthly to learn how you can better understand your animals and deepen your relationship. This hit show calls attention to the many roles animals play in our lives. Through stories and insights, Darcy shares how animals assist us in raising our consciousness and fulfilling our soul's purpose. These busy healers help us with transitions and challenges, love us, and want us to have more joy in our lives. Are you ready to see yourself through your animal's eyes? Learn how they're helping you and walk through life with more ease and grace? Working with ancient healing practices, Darcy can guide you and provide inspiration to move forward. To learn more, go to DarcyPariso.com.
Hey everyone, welcome. I'm Darcy Pariso, the host of Animal Soul Wisdom. Thanks for joining me today. I've got a really special show for you. But first I'm going to let you know that I'm here every second and fourth Thursday of the month. And you can find those times and that show information on the Transformation Talk Radio and Dr. Pat Show websites under the weekly schedule. Or you can go to my Facebook page, Angels and Animals. So today, before I introduce Lori, I just want to let you know how we met. So Lori Como is my guest, and you're going to be fascinated with her story. She's got so much to tell that there might be segments to this going on. It might be kind of a novel, maybe. So Lori is a Reiki practitioner at Positive Vibrations, and we met at an animal communication class in the Seattle area just earlier this year. So I had been thinking about having guests on the show, the people who work with animals and people, and people who need to share their story and their wisdom and their path and how they got there, because there's no cookie-cutter approach to this type of work, believe me. And the stories are fascinating, and some are just really crazy, and I know you'll enjoy today. So, like I say, they're things that you can't often imagine, and they feel very guided often. You know that this is your path. So I'm going to go ahead and read Lori's bio, and then we're going to jump in. So Lori had a calling to help others. She worked as a respiratory therapist in Texas and then found her passion in clinical research. Lori's always been drawn to animals, and she found a soulmate in Apollo. Apollo was a blind old English sheepdog who would become the catalyst that would change her life forever. And after many years of struggling with various illnesses and researching every avenue of care for the solution, Lori considered energy healing and spirituality. It was only when she gave Reiki a try that she began healing her physical, emotional, and spiritual self. So Lori's a master Reiki instructor and practitioner, providing Reiki to both humans and animals. And it is her sole mission and a joy to share this special healing energy with others. Lori resides in Linwood, Washington, with her puppy Zoe, who also benefits from the Reiki sessions every night, falling into a blissful sleep. Imagine a puppy. I can see that. Lori's a member of the International Association of Reiki Professionals, and she adheres to the standards of practice and code of ethics. So welcome, Lori. I'm so happy to have you here.
Thank you for having me, Darcy. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're going to jump in because we've got a lot of information and we're going to share what we can. Like I said, otherwise it'll go into the book, I guess. So Lori had three special dogs that changed her life, or her life, and she calls these dogs, I guess the dogs' lives too,
yeah.
She calls the dogs the game changers. And I always say, like, dogs to the rescue. So Lori, who was the first dog that came into your life?
You know, it was really in 2010 after my mom's passing. I just felt really empty, and I was looking for love, I was looking for happiness. And actually, upon encouragement from my sister Karen, I adopted this 110-pound old English sheepdog named Apollo. And Apollo was just this big, fluffy, white, like I said, big 110-pound dog with one black ear. And he was blind, and he just totally, totally relied on me. But almost from the minute he walked through my door, he just provided unconditional love. And he could not receive enough love. He just, if someone came to visit, he had to be on their lap and was just providing attention and love to everybody. And so Paulo became a very, very, very special animal to me, and we were just inseparable. The message that Paulo really provided me was more around the fact that I could open my heart. You know, I had really come from a somewhat troubled background. I had fears of getting hurt. And Paulo just allowed me to let that guard down and open my heart and just love him unconditionally. But it also impacted me in other parts of my life because I just learned how to love. So he was such a special, special dog. And everyone in the community knew him, and he was just well known around the neighborhood. It was like, who's Lori? They all wanted to see Apollo and get hugs from him. It was really special.
It's Apollo's person.
Yeah.
Oh, he sounds like a big love bug, a love magnet for everyone.
He totally was, and he had these big paws, and he was blind, so we kind of used him as this way to move around and navigate, and he was just lovely.
You know, I have to say that from an animal standpoint, and maybe for many people too, that being blind is not a handicap because those other senses come up and you can feel people's energy and you know their sorrows or their troubles and their joys and you can relate to those. And
totally. And he did not let that hold him back. I mean, all of my walls were filled with nose marks because if he knew you were in another room, he was going to find his way to you because he needs to get a hug.
Yeah. Now, I believe I saw his picture on your website.
So
check that out. Positive Vibrations. Oh, that's a great story. And so who is next up? I know you talked about a Cocker Spaniel. That was Natalie?
Yes. Well, I knew Apollo when I lived in Texas. And we did move to Minnesota together. And after his passing, I started working with the Cocker Spaniel Resources Rescue. And that's where I met Natalie. I had actually went to, PetSmart or some pet store to pick up a different dog. But I was sitting on the ground, and Natalie just waddled over to me and sat on my lap. And that was it. I'm like, okay, I'll foster her. But within a week, I adopted her, and she was so lovely. But Natalie had a lot of fears. She was a breeder dog and lived in a cage most of her life, didn't know how to play with toys.
Mm-hmm.
But between the rescue and I, we had a fun run, and I contributed some money, and we gave her the gift of her sight back because she was also blind at the time.
Wow.
And she just opened up like a flower with all the petals opening up. She just became this loving, fun. She loved to play and go for car rides and get treats, and she just turned out to be just such a loving dog. And so with Natalie, one of the messages she taught me is that love comes in different packages. It doesn't just, there's just not one way to learn to love people. And with kindness and patience, she also helped me even open my heart further, and I didn't think it was possible being
after Apollo, yes.
He was such a big impact, but she really, really did.
And the trust that she had, I mean, to suddenly, to be blind and to come in and to a new environment and to open to everyone and then to have her sight, and the amount of trust and love and really love and trust for you.
Yeah, it really was. And it was actually such a really good message to the rescue and all the people that were working with the rescue, because just that one gift, providing her with sight, how much it opened her up. But even before she had her sight, just being in a safe environment and just allowing pets to be who they want to be and giving them time, be patient with them so they can open up is so important. And wow, she opened up like there's no tomorrow. So it was really amazing. Natalie followed me to Seattle when I moved here 3 years ago. And she, like I said, she was a breeder dog, so she came with many issues. And she had tumors in her ears and wound up going blind again for a different reason, a different disease that caused it. And so later in that year, she passed away. But when I reflect, I look at Natalie and I look at Paulo, and I know that I myself was suffering from different illnesses that I had been going on for a long time, even since Texas. And I knew if they could get by it, if they could pass through it, so could I. And so they really were inspiring to help me be a game changer, but also to just reassess my whole life, my work life, my personal life, my health, everything. So they really, really, they're not just healers, but they were teachers. They taught me look at life differently and to love it, to love life.
And they're so open, and they know if you're coming from a place of love and acceptance, that they'll be there for you. And if you see yourself as somebody that is broken or needs to be healed, you know, they go, no, you're perfect just the way you are, but we're just going to give you that spiritual glass cleaning and sign you up. That's all you need.
That's totally what it is. And so it took me a little time because I was healing from the loss of Natalie, but in 2018, last year, I started taking conscious transformation classes. It was through Joey Klein out of Colorado. And while going there, his classes basically teach you how to think differently, how to switch your viewpoint to be positive, and to really go from victim mode to be the game changer of your life, which they were, Natalie and Paula were saying that, but so was Joey. And so that really helped me out. And also I realized that I did need to bring another animal into my life, and I was slowly looking for one. But after taking classes from Joey, and you know me with research, everything had to be facts and data and had to make sense. But I stepped out of my box and looked into holistic therapies, and one specifically was Reiki. And I met the most wonderful person. Her name is Maureen Ravel, and she owns the Daylight Healing Center. And even after one session with her, I kind of look at it as if you look internally and you feel just a little bit fragmented, but you don't know why. And yes, you have all these illnesses, but you also, there's some emotional connection and even your thought process. And after one session, I just felt like I was healing. I was becoming whole again. And the healing was quick. I went to her in September and followed every 2 or 3 weeks again in October, November. And it was like, it was miraculous. It's like I was changing almost overnight. It was really, really special, so I thank her so much.
You know, I know Maureen Ravel of the Daylight Healing Center, and that's in Edmonds, Washington, by the way, if you're in the area.
Yeah.
And she is a phenomenal teacher, shaman, Reiki master, and she takes all of these skill sets and many more that I haven't named, medium, and things come up on the table. There's healings, there's releasing, and she writes you a little poem.
And so lovely.
And at first I thought, what is that? And it just touched my heart. Exactly. It was a heart-to-heart communication. So she's amazing. If you're in Edmonds, check her out.
Yeah, and I'm hoping to train under her later this summer for shamanism because she is really that special.
Yes, she is. So we didn't talk about Zoe yet. Would you like to?
Yes, I would love to talk about Zoe.
Yeah,
Zoe. I consider her my little spitfire.
Yeah.
And really how it came all that year, last year, I was really looking for actually a rescue dog because Zoe is a puppy. But for one reason or another, there just wasn't a fit. The dog was taken or they needed a second dog to be with them in order to get adopted. I just couldn't, it just wasn't right. But then it was almost like divine right timing. I was sitting down just watching TV and a lady called me in August and said, all the puppies from my litter have been taken, but there's one left. Do you want her? And I right away was like, oh my gosh, I'm starting a new job. I don't know if I can take her, but just something inside said yes.
Yeah.
So she came in September, right around the time I started receiving Reiki sessions. And now, you know, with my health and with a stressful job and lots of timelines and pressures going on, Zoe and I didn't really bond right away. But once I started taking Reiki, that all changed. Mm-hmm. Because in November, I took a Reiki 1 class, and in the morning, I would do self-care, and she literally would curl up around my neck and just hold space for me while I had the session. And then after literally playing all day and running like crazy, around 7:30, she would tie her out and sit beside me, and then I would give her Reiki, and she would just fall asleep. And so we started to bond. And she also helped me realize how much play and playfulness and having fun was important, because I wasn't doing that. I was working long hours at work and just kind of like a robot going through the motions in life. But I needed to add playfulness and fun. So she was a teacher again.
Yes, yes, she was. I know you said she's a ball of fire, very extroverted, and she wasn't going to let you miss out on life.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we have a caller. I know that this is a friend of yours, Lisa.
Yeah.
And if it's okay, we will skip this break and continue and bring Lisa on.
Sure. That'd be wonderful.
Lisa, that was about your trip to Sedona, right?
Yes. You know, I'm originally from Canada, and Lisa's from Canada as well, and we met on my trip to Sedona, but we just connected instantly. And through one of the stories I'm going to tell after the break, Lisa helped me work through it and just really helped me. But I also helped her heal with animals, so she has a special story to tell.
Yeah. Well, let's skip the break and bring Lisa on.
Lisa, are you there?
Lisa, are you there?
I'm here.
I'm here.
Hi, Lisa. Welcome to Animal Soul Wisdom. We're happy to have you on today.
Oh, so glad to be here.
So I'm interested to hear the story, too. I've heard, you know, bits and pieces of it from Lori, but now we have the comrades together.
Lisa, this is Lori. I would love if you would share the story about Dakota.
Sure, no problem. Are you ready for me to start now?
Yeah,
go for it.
Okay, great. I'm just getting some feedback, so I don't know if somebody's speaking. So I'm just going to tell the story, and then at the end, if you have any questions, by all means, ask at that time. So we met on our trip to Sedona, and I was on a soul journey, and there was a particular day that one of our excursion for the day was to travel to a wolf sanctuary. It was my least anticipated activity of our entire week because I grew up afraid of dogs. And even as a child, I was bit by several dogs, big dogs and little dogs. I never really understood dogs. I never got them. And they all knew it. I could feel it. They could feel it. It was really always awkward. So I shared my reservations with Lori, and this was one of the main reasons for her to be there, was to go to the wolf sanctuary. So she just felt that maybe if I just was really open to what I may experience, it could benefit me in some way. So with that in mind, off we went. So we went to the wolf sanctuary, and when we came there, there was two caretakers that lived on the property. And the property was very sacred land. There's a lot of history to it. Again, that's a story for another day, but they also told the story of these beautiful wolves that they have and that they take care of. And each one had a specific story on why it was there and how it got there. And she told the story of this one wolf in particular, Dakota, who recently came there from a very serious case of abuse. And he was very timid and really withdrawn and wouldn't normally participate. Kind of not what you would see in the other wolves. So as we approached the cages, they at first, years ago or weeks ago even, you were allowed to get in with the wolves, but they stopped allowing that because it was unhealthy for the wolves. So we sat on the outside of the cage, and we sit down to give them the space and the comfort, and they approach us. So at the cage of the first two wolves, they both took an interest in me. I'm not saying they didn't really come to me, but they were watching me for some reason. But they came over and got their treats and so on, and I gave them some treats, which took me a while to even go close to their mouth to hand this treat. because I'm petrified. And eventually, so we went to the second cage, which had these other two beautiful wolves in it. And the first wolf went to the entire group because he's excited about getting treats. And I went to the farthest part of the bench and sat on it. And everyone else was way to the left of me. And all of them, the dog was there getting treats, or the wolf was there getting treats from them. I'm at the other side, really just sizing up the wolves and letting the others just enjoy their experience. And Lori was kind of looking across at everything and eventually came over with me. And I felt that the wolf may come to me. I just felt that he might. So I started to encourage him and held my treat for him to come. And he was very submissive. He was way over in the corner and he was backing up. But eventually he came over, which was really out of character. And it was a beautiful thing. I could just feel him coming, and I could feel just this fear from him. And I had the same fear. It was just such a beautiful feeling that overcame me. And he came back two more times after that to treat. And then he came again, and Lori got to meet him, and then he returned to his corner. And it was the most extraordinary interaction I've ever had with an animal in my entire life. And after we left the wolf sanctuary, we went on with our day. I mean, this was something I'll never, ever forget. And the next evening, we were blessed again with a different experience where we had a local flute artist perform a personal experience for our group. And I purchased one of his flutes because it was kind of a part of my plan to do so. And he tracks all of his flutes. He numbers them, hand makes them, and he wanted to know what I was going to name the flute. And I was thinking, I have no idea what I'm going to name a flute. What am I going to name a flute? And I said I'd have to get back to him with that once I had time to put some thought or meditate on it. And then later on in the evening, I was getting ready for bed, and then I just blinked my eyes, and right across, I saw Dakota in capital letters. So then the flute was named. So it was a very emotional moment, even for the other people that were around. They all felt very emotional, and I'm feeling the emotion again as I speak about it, because it was just appropriate that I got to bring that home. So now I'm learning the flute. I'm very early on in it. So when I play it, I talk, say its name, and bring that energy to me and show gratitude for that part of my experience and for the beautiful creature of a wolf. And he appears in my meditations and in Reiki sessions, and I really believe that we were brought together that day to heal each other of our fear of the other. So that's my story.
Wow, Lisa, that's a really beautiful story. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing it. And I agree with you. I'm absolutely certain that's the case, too. It was a mutual healing agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. I think we're going to have to take a break now. It's been a little while. But thank you again, and I hope to meet you someday. And I hope you keep having more positive experiences with dogs.
On Transformation Talk Radio and join Sarah on an adventurous journey to the deeper level of meaning to move beyond today's world of constant change, confusion, and uncertainty beyond the shadow of fear. This hit show explores key concepts such as confidence, value, values and attitude in a dynamic way. To learn more about Sarah and her work, visit sarahmaine.com. Is traditional medicine not working for you? Do you still feel as if your health isn't 100%? Here at the Holistic Medical Center, Dr. Nushin Darvish and the qualified staff look through the dimensions of wellness and start a healing plan prioritized to your needs. Our physicians assess the whole you until complete health is achieved. Get the help you need by visiting drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Living Lighter Radio with Jason and Patricia. We have an ecosystem approach to your life. Tune in weekly every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as we, Jason and Patricia, discuss what's truly holding you back. We offer you the tools you need to reach your goals and at the same time be living lighter. For more information about Living Lighter, visit www.livinglighter.org.
A word of caution, if you prefer the status quo and you are not interested in improving every aspect of your life, this book will trigger the shift out of you. The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens is available now. Author Colette Steffen brings the powerful knowledge and life-changing energy and empowerment from the radio airwaves to the pages of her new book. To get your copy in paperback or ebook, visit thetruthisfunny.com today.
Discover the creative genius within on Creative Voice Radio with Gwen Fox each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in for a conversation that'll inspire, motivate, and empower you to share your inner vision with the world. Make the deep connection between art and spirituality to take your artistic expression beyond anything you dream possible. Say yes to fear. Say yes to the creative genius within. For more information about Creative Voice Radio and working with Gwen, visit GwenFox.com.
This is Darcy Pariso at Animal Soul Wisdom Radio. Welcome back. We are talking today to Lori Como, and she is telling us about her experiences with animals and how they were life-changing. And I hope you're able to catch the first part of the show because it's really, really interesting and it's going to become more so. So Lori is a Reiki practitioner at Positive Vibrations in Lynnwood, Washington. So check out that website, Positive Vibrations, and we'll give you some more contact information a little later in the show. But for now, we're going to jump to the next thing. We were talking about the signs from the universe and Sedona. And if you haven't been to Sedona, this is going to be very interesting, even if you have. So go ahead, Lori.
Thank you so much, Darcy. So I first wanted to start before Sedona. Last Christmas, I went to an intuitive psychic healer named Kate Mariah. And while I was there, I asked Kate, you know, work-wise, when are things going to get better? And she said, well, they're not. The universe is trying to tell you that this is not what you need to be doing. You're not on the right path. And if you will quit your job, even now, there will be this magic purple carpet that will catch you and will protect you and will provide you with all these magical gifts. And then she started to giggle and she said, and they're telling me that they can't tell you what it is, but if you just trust, if you trust us, if you trust the angels that you work with, you will get protected. So I, at the time, was reading a course after I took my first Reiki classes. My first Reiki class was reading angel books, spirituality books. You name it, I was reading it, and I just could not put it down. I was like a freight train. It just I just had to read everything I could get my hands on. The books are piled up on my bed and even under my bed because they're just overflowing. But over the Christmas break, I was really thinking about what Kate said to me, and I truly felt like I did need to quit my job. Part of my healing, along with Reiki, was to take care of myself. And so in January, I handed in my notice, and on February 1st was the last day of my job at the time. And a week later, I completed my Master Reiki training through Marianne Strike, who works for Reiki for Living. And then just within a week or so after that, I woke up in the middle of the night. It was 2 or 3 in the morning, and I had these two lovely, beautiful angels staring at me. And if people aren't familiar with Kundalini, I have this energy sitting right up at my forehead where my third eye is. And at the time, I had been reading books, luckily, so I knew what Kundalini was. But I asked the angels who they were, and they each popped in and showed me their face one at a time and disappeared. So I never found that answer out. But also, just to let you know a little bit about Kundalini, it's really considered a feminine form of spiritual life force energy that sits at the base of your spine. And once it's activated, it's released and it moves up through all of your chakras. And once it goes through your seventh chakra at the top of your head, you're supposed to reach enlightenment. And there for me, it was already sitting at the third eye.
I need some guidance here. Angels, just come back.
Exactly. And then when I was driving around in February and March, I started seeing license plates. And it was kind of funny because initially I just let it pass through me. But I was at a light, and the first three letters of one license plate said B-I-R, like a bird. And then the last, the car beside it said D-O-C. And I go, oh, isn't that cute, bird doc? And then as they were driving through the light, the car behind the one on the right of me said 999. And so when it happened the first time, I just let it go, and oh, that's so cute. But then a day or two later, it happened again, the exact same three license plates. And I continued to see those license plates. So when looking it up, for me, 999 really means to accept what's happening to you, to move through whatever needs to be done so you can get on your soul journey and your life path. The bird doc, I wasn't sure yet, and both the angels and the bird doc story kind of came to me when I went to Sedona.
Oh, well, I can't wait to hear it. I know I've heard bits and pieces, and now we can go deeper.
Yes.
So please go on.
Well, the first day that we got there, just like Lisa said, we had events scheduled every single day, and we were to meet with Dwayne Miles Davis, who was giving us a fractal art piece of a totem animal. He actually drew it himself. And just before we started, the leader asked me if I had any questions for Dwayne, and I said no. She said, are you sure you don't have any questions for Dwayne? And I was kind of looking around at everyone saying no. And then Dwayne looked at me and he said, well, wouldn't you like to know who those two angels were that approached you in February? And my mouth just dropped to the floor, and I said, yes, I really want to know who they are. And so he let me know that one of the angels was Lady Nada. Lady Nada is really known for divine love and communication. But how funny that I talked about opening your heart. She also assists people with opening their hearts. She's really about service and peace and healing.
Mm.
And the other angel was Evangeline. And Evangeline is the angel of mercy, and it's really about clarity. And I was going through it right then on trying to clarify what my next path in life would be. So that really brings me to my next story. The third to last day that we were there, we were asked to walk through a labyrinth. And for those who don't know what it is, it was just a circular formation of rocks. You kind of walk through a path and get to the middle. And then you meditate or say a prayer, and then you walk out. But when you walk in, you look deep within yourself. And then when you walk out, you come out with a better understanding of who you are and what you're meant to do in life. So on the way in, I said a prayer, and I asked a question. Is my soul journey to work with, heal, and communicate with animals? And now, I had become very visual as soon as I entered Sedona with all the vortex energy. I was getting visions all the time. So about every 5 or 10 steps, I would stop and close my eyes. And I began seeing crosses. and it would take 5 or 10 more steps, and I would see crosses. But now I started seeing two birds at the top of one specific cross. And eventually I saw like an upside down V. It was like two sticks sitting out the bottom of the cross, which I didn't really know what that meant. But as I walked through to the middle and then came out, that's all I really received. So I was like, well, that didn't answer my question.
Not yet anyway.
So I was like, okay. So I didn't really share it with the others because I wasn't too sure what it meant. So the next day, which was our second to last day, in the afternoon we went to the Chapel of the Holy Cross, which is a Catholic church, and it's high up on a hill. It's just beautiful. It's surrounded by all the red rock. And there was a pathway up to the church, and at the top of the paved pathway was a little fountain with flowers, beautiful flowers, and it had a statue in the middle. And the leader that we were with asked me if I wanted to come over and take a look at the statue. And so, of course, I went over there and I looked at it, and it was beautiful. And she said, do you know who this is? And I'm feeling kind of weird because I didn't know who it was. I said, no, I don't really know who it is. And she said, well, this is St. Francis, and he's the patron of animals. And he protects and heals and communicates with animals. And so I said, oh, my gosh, that's so lovely. And I looked at the statue, and I looked at it again and again. And then it just all came to me that that's exactly what I was seeing in the visions when I was in the labyrinth. He had been created as a stick man, and that's why I just saw two sticks at the bottom. His legs were just a little bit apart, and he had this tall cross sitting in front of him that ended around his throat level. And his arms were up in the air, and he had two birds sitting above his hands in the air. It was exactly what I saw. So then I also got this warmth, like this heat wave come out my heart, and it just went across my whole body, and I kind of got shaking, and I looked at my friend and said, that's what I saw in the labyrinth, and I was still trying to absorb everything. So of course the chapel was beautiful, and when I went in and sat down and just closed my eyes, a message came to me, and it just said, you will heal animals. That is your path. You will heal animals. So I came out in tears because I felt so blessed and with such gratitude. And that St. Francis was truly, I felt, with me and talking to me and letting me know he's there for me and is going to help me heal animals.
Oh, and Lori, and I want to mention too to the listeners that, you know, this is a really amazing story. And a lot of people that work with animals, the angels come in and St. Francis is right there to support you. And a lot of the people that I meet, because I'm an animal communicator, and I too didn't see this, I took a Reiki class, and very similar people started coming in, animals that I crossed over, and then the animal communication. So St. Francis is with me all the time. Oh. He's on my left, and Archangel Gabriel on the right, and various other ones around my body. And I see that with people, and we seem to find each other. So,
I love that.
Yeah, it's just all these synchronicities are, you know, I feel like there are agreements made before we got here.
I truly believe that. And when I think back to the license plates, the bird dock, St. Francis often talked to birds. And even when he was preaching or lecturing in the community, they would actually sit and listen just as they were a human listening to what he had to say.
And on his shoulder, and we're looking at a statue you probably forgot across from us. It's a statue of St. Francis, and he's got a bird on his right shoulder.
Oh, gosh, it's so lovely. And birds have come to me already a few times. They have come and sit and listen to me this morning while I was practicing. And then later that night, everyone was going to bed because they had to get up early and catch their planes. So what I did was I was lying in my bed with the lights off. I could hear a couple girls still in the hot tub. And the TV turned on, and it shined this bright light on me. And for about 20 to 30 seconds, it shone this light, and then it just turned off. And then the Kundalini, since February, had continued to run through my body up and down, sometimes very fierce, other times gentle, activating different chakras and the minor chakras in my body. But that night, it was so fierce that I was almost levitating off the bed. My back was arched up, and it was strong. The Kundalini for me was never painful. It was just super strong. So when we got up in the morning, there were only two of us left, and the other girl left at 7. So I did tell her about the light, but I didn't really mention the Kundalini. And since I didn't have to leave till 11, I was asked if I just wanted to go for a short drive into the mountains and then maybe up to Schnepley Hill, that was a very special place. So what I did is say yes, and we went on our short drive. But as we were driving up to Schnepley Hill, she said, "You feel that pressure in your head?" And it wasn't just pressure. My third eye was throbbing so much, it was just like pounding out my head, and it was coming out the back as well. And we no sooner parked at the top of the hill that it just felt like, honestly, a vortex energy grabbed that energy out my root chakra, shot it all the way up to my third eye, and stuff was seeping out my crown chakra, but it didn't all take place, so I did not complete the full process. But that kept going on for about 10 minutes, and I didn't realize it, but it had snowed that morning, and it was raining, and the minute we parked, it started to hail. And other cars started showing up, and I was still going through my process, so she said, "We better go." And when we got to the bottom of the hill, it stopped hailing and turned back into rain. Now, of course, I'm like, oh, my gosh, how am I going to get back to my plane and make it home?
Right.
This was so overwhelming but also wonderful at the same time.
And, Lori, were you comfortable through this process, or did you have support? Did you confide the person you're with what was happening?
I did. And, you know, Lisa that told the story about Dakota the wolf, she had been enlightened 3 years earlier. And I knew we were brought together because she told me her experience and was helping me through it and explaining what to think about or what to expect or not expect, because it's different for everybody. Kundalini, you can be enlightened. You could meditate and be enlightened in 10 minutes. And other people can take 2 years, 10 years. It really depends on your situation. And it's part of your path. You don't really know ahead of time
right.
how it's going to turn out.
And people, please say sometimes to be careful with yoga, with the Kundalini yoga,
yes.
because you have to be ready for it, and it's not something that you can say, "I want that," and bring it to you. And if you do, it might not go well.
Absolutely. So. And once you turn it on, there's no going back. You have to work with it. And even as we talk now, I can feel the energy. It gets stronger when I talk
just
about
by talking about it. That often happens, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we are coming up on our last break. Did you have some more things you wanted to share about Sedona? And I wanted to give out your contact information
yeah.
and so forth.
Just one last thing. On my way home from Schnepley Hill, again, because I received messages and license plates, we were sitting at the light, and the car in front of me said 777, and the one beside me said hideaway. And I didn't yet know what that meant until I got to the airport and was sitting at my gate thinking, this. I wasn't thinking, but a thought just kept coming to me, hideaway, hideaway. So there were two little gates around the corner, like a hook. They were completely empty. And I hid around there for about an hour and a half waiting for my flight, but was allowed the energy to just run through my body and not have to feel kind of weird about it going through me. So even then, they were protecting me and sending messages on how to handle everything.
And it's so powerful that you know that, because to go through these experiences and feel that you're alone or you don't know who to talk to. And one of the things I've recognized, I'm absolutely clear on, is that from the time I started this journey and I met St. Francis and the angels, that I'm supported and guided. And I knew that, and it's only gotten stronger and stronger. And so anything that comes my way, even if it looks like an obstacle or I don't know what I'm going to do with this, and I don't see ahead, not yet anyway, I just, you know, open my arms
yeah.
wide to receive and throw it over to St. Francis and Archangel Gabriel, the other angels.
Absolutely.
And I say that all the time. I know that I'm taken care of. I know I'm protected, and I am. So I'm so glad you brought that up, because that same message applies to everybody that works in this, you know, with the angels, the animals, masters.
I totally agree.
Yeah, well, if you want to keep going, we can. Otherwise, we'll take a short break, and we'll have just maybe another 10 minutes.
Sure, we can take a short break.
Okay. All right, Betty, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back for the last of the show. Please stay with us, and we'll give out some contact information and messages, and we'll see you soon.
in a roundabout of dysfunction? Stop circling around difficult issues and find out what's been holding you back. Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Aubert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Aubert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyaubert.com. That's drkathyaubert.com. Has your buzz for life buzzed off? Feeling ignored, invisible, and wondering if this is really all there is? The years go by faster as we gain momentum. You're halfway there. Are you gathering speed or puttering out? Hit your stride for the liberating half of life. Comfortable in your skin? You can do better than that. Tune in to Discovering You Again Radio every fourth Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific as host Susan Axelrod encourages listeners to decide what they want, get inspired to action, and face challenges head on. Host Susan Axelrod pulls no punches, encouraging you to grab the brass ring and soar. For more information about Susan, go to www.whatwillyourlegacybe.com.
Disease, one of the most dreaded words in our vocabulary. Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know traditionally we have viewed disease as a degenerative process? Disease is better understood when we view it as dis-ease in the human body. Dis-ease means without ease. Health is not merely the absence of disease. It's when every part of the body works together effortlessly, relaxed and at ease. It's that relaxed state that lets energy flow in waves through and around the entire body. Every organ has an electrical charge, and when overcharged or undercharged, dis-ease occurs. And it is an effort to go through our day. We are able to determine the exact dis-ease of the body and design a specific solution to correct the nutritional imbalance. Contact us at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Are you feeling stuck in unhealthy habits, toxic relationships, or low self-esteem? Do you crave a healthy relationship filled with inspiration? You might just be on the verge. On the verge of attracting your soulmate. Tune in each month to The Laura Richer Show, where dating coach Laura Richer shares tools for using your dating breakdown for a relationship breakthrough. For more information, visit RicherHealingHypnosis.com.
Welcome back. This is Darcy Pariso at Animal Soul Wisdom. My guest today is Lori Como. And Lori's been telling us about her amazing journey to Sedona, her path to finding animals via Reiki and so forth. And so we're going to wrap that up before we give out any contact information or messages. And we're going to finish up with St. Francis. And so Lori's talking about how St. Francis made a home visit.
Absolutely. He made more than one.
He gets around that man.
Well, it's funny because the day after I got back home, I was doing my laundry and putting clothes away and just knick-knacky stuff around the house. And I lie down for a nap around 11:30 in the morning, and I woke up to this beautiful vision of St. Francis kneeling down with his brown smock on and this huge, I don't know, like six-winged angel above him floating. And I didn't really know what it meant. And then it was just like a movie reel. I saw snapshots of his life. You know, he was preaching in a church, then he was working with a sick person, and then talking with animals. And it was like click, 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 all these different shots of his life. And it was just so amazing. And as quickly as it started, it was over. And so I was Googling like St. Francis and angels and all that, and I didn't even know that he had a seraphim, which is a six-winged angel, that came to him, and I believe it was just before he received the stigmata, and I really felt like that's what I saw was him just before that happened. And it was so funny because then I started singing, not really singing, but answering questions with holy, holy, holy. And when I looked up seraphims, they said they're known for singing holy, holy, holy all the time. And I didn't know why I was saying that. And I looked back at a couple texts even that I had, and I had answered it that way. But he came also the very next day, and that was more around 11 at night. And I woke up with my hands out at my side and my legs out at my side and energy swirling in my hands, but really deep, hot energy going all the way through my hands and through the tops and bottoms of my feet. So I don't know if that was to tell me that it was related to a stigmata and that he really had it, but that's what happened. And probably every 6 to 8 hours after that, he has come to me with it would take forever to explain it all, but came to me with different messages. And this last day, it hasn't been, I haven't received anything, but I literally have received something since I've come back. Mm. It's really lovely.
That's beautiful. And I also feel that when you were feeling the energy in your hands and feet, I feel that he was also giving you an activation and helping you to align with him more with your healing, with the Reiki, and that it was like coming from him through you.
Oh, I love that.
It's a transmission. How I see that is like it's a transmission from him to you, and it's coming through your hands for your animal healing. And he says the words of things like, for those who love animals and heal them, I shall be with you.
Oh,
and
I love that.
And I see it coming out of you and out of him. So.
Oh, that's so, thank you so much. That's so lovely.
Yes, and it's really funny because when we started the show, we're talking about animals and healing, and I know St. Francis was included, but I just feel him like he's over, he's like behind us, above us, and he is here. So, and I believe that you contacting you was St. Francis' life.
I agree.
Definitely. And if it wasn't clear before, it's crystal clear now. Yeah. So thank you so much. And I know we don't have a lot of time left, so I want to give out contact information. Lori, would you like to go first and remind people of your website?
Sure. My website is positivevibrations.com, and positive is PAWSITIV, no E, with a dash, and vibrations ends with a Z.com. And I do have an email. It's info@positivevibrations.com.
Okay.
Or, yeah, positivevibrations, .com, I think.
Yeah, okay. And Facebook page?
My Facebook page is just under my name, Lori Como. But you do have an Instagram page as well that is Positive Vibrations Zoe Style.
Zoe Style.
Yeah.
I like that. I know Zoe does too. And how about to have a phone number that you'd like to give out?
Yes, it's 214-734-4030.
Okay, and myself, Darcy Pariso, I have a Facebook page. It's Angels and Animals, and I post things about the show and things that will help you with animals, lots of things that will make you laugh or get you inspired to write to your congressman or something about things that are not the best and the holiest for the animals. So Angels and Animals. And my website is darcypariso.com, D-A-R-C-Y. And it's Paris with an O, P-A-R-I-S-O. And I'm on Instagram, and my Skype is darcy2141. Phone number is 425-280-5132. And I do animal communication readings, mediumship, and energy healing. So any of those services, so check that out. And before we close, I think Lori had a message to share.
You know, I just wanted to ask all the listeners to follow your heart. Just be present, because you are receiving messages every single day. And I invite the listeners to invite animals into your life, because they really are teachers. They are healers. And like magic, they can help you open your heart and even find answers to other things going on in your life.
We definitely will. So anybody that helps the animals will be helped by angels and masters just like Lori and I have encountered, and all the other people. So please do. And thank you so much for listening today. We love our listeners. I hope you had a great show. And Lori, thank you so much for being on today.
Oh, thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Into the wisdom of our animals, angels, and masters with Darcy Pariso. Tune in monthly as Darcy shares stories and insights on how to better understand and deepen our relationships with animals. Working with light and ancient techniques, Darcy is here to guide you through the process and provide inspiration to move forward.
For more information or to listen to this show, visit DarcyPariso.com.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to TransformationRadio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's T-H-E-D-R-PatShow.com for listening times in your area.